Lord Jesus, we pray for many things tonight. Thank you for answers. Wow. Thank you. You answer us. For convention, for our young people coming back from the Dominican, or maybe they're back. For the team in San Diego, for bringing Pastor Love and Pastor Bill and the team from Haiti. For people traveling here from Europe and India for a convention and other places. For our meditation tonight, our focus, our thoughts, please guide and lead us. Thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the message has to do with the second coming of Christ. And I'll read a verse from 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Or actually, you can put it up on the screen, 2 Timothy 4, 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Love his appearing. That's the key phrase. Do you love his appearing? That's a good question. I believe that there are many believers that believe in Christ, but do they love his appearing? I believe there are many people that believe in Christ. They do not go to a church. They do not read the Bible. I hope they are born again. God knows. Let's say they are, some of them. They are born again, but do they love his appearing? Maybe they don't. They don't know about it. And maybe also, if they know about it, they are so strongly attached to their modern lifestyle that they don't need his appearing. Or they are living their life. And the coming of Christ is something that they know little about it, and they have very little interest in it. Turn to Matthew 24 for another verse. And thanks so much for your prayers and your love. I appreciate it very much. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. So we are to be ready for his coming. And how can I be ready for his coming if I have no sanctification going on in my life? And Sunday, we did a message on sanctification and what that is. Justification is salvation. That is when you are declared righteous 100%. And then the second part of your life is your growth and development. Christians are different. There is one Christian, very mature, spirit-filled much of the time, great courage, great faith, enlightened mind, a humble spirit, and he walks often in the spirit. That Christian is different from another Christian who is largely carnal, does not have much interest, who is doing a lot of, he is living in his flesh, Galatians 5. Maybe complains a lot, he's unhappy inside, internally, and so on. So one believer is, they are both, God's purpose for both of them is to be sanctified. We read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So turn there with me, and that's our text. I think we're going to end up again looking at another portion. But 2 Thessalonians 2, we'll keep our finger there, and we will look at verse 13. Actually, the whole chapter, you have to know this chapter in your Bible. You have to know 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You have to read that chapter and read it slowly. You have to read that chapter prayerfully. You have to read it and take it apart word by word and put it back together again and understand this chapter regarding this subject. It is awesome. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Wow. Belief of the truth. I want to write that word down here. We have this word. Truth. What is truth? Pontius Pilate said that to Christ. What is truth? What is truth? You have sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You are a believer of truth. I want to put here next to it a lie. Okay. A lie. Lies. But you are sanctified to truth, not to a lie. So we live in a world of lies, and lies are increasing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, those that are deceiving and being deceived. Another key phrase, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving. This is sleight of hand, being cheated, being lied to, the fine print on a contract, the second phone call that is made, the first one, the second one, deceit, and I'll put here the word guile or trickery or deceitfulness, and that is the nature of man, even a good man. Very good people, morally good people, but are they sanctified by God, by the Holy Spirit? There's only one spirit in the world that does not lie. There's one spirit in the world that does not lie. Who is that? Holy Spirit. You are sanctified unto the truth. Yay. Yay, God. Let's all say it. Yay, God. Let's turn to your neighbor and say, yay, God. Yay, God. We are sanctified unto the truth. Now, I want to do a brief little pre-lesson here about the heart of man. This is Jeremiah 17. And I want to say what I want to say tonight and end the message, but we're going to get there, so follow it with me. Guys, Jeremiah 17 is an incredibly profound text. Another text of Scripture, you must know this. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 down through 9. Okay. I'm not going to teach the text, but I want to show you by a diagram. The heart is deceitful. I'll put a hole in it. Why is there a hole in the heart? Because man lost God. God is not in the heart. God is not in the heart of a fallen man. God said, where are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you? Why does God? God knows all things. He knows very well where he is. It's God's way of saying, what happened? Where are you? I lost you. I lost contact. Like, what happened to you? You're an empty person. You are a sinful person. You're a deceitful person. So this is verse 5 through to 9. Because of time, I just want to point this out to you. Many of you know this text, but if you're new in the church and you're following this and you want to learn our teaching, this text is a very fundamental building block for your understanding. There are two hearts only. There are only two hearts in the world. There is the heart that is trusting God, and there is the heart that is trusting the flesh. This is Jesus Christ's heart. Jesus Christ's heart. He is obedient. You can trust him. He is the truth. He is not a liar. He is the holy God, the almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He has the heart of God. He came into the world to show us a man who had no sin. He is God. And they that worship him know him, and they have his spirit. And they're living in a world that is deceiving and being deceived. Why do you wait for his appearing? Because he has my heart. Why do I want Jesus to come? Because I'm tired of the lie. It angers me or frustrates me. It hurts me. I am saddened by it. It hurts when people are being tricked, lied to, deceived, misled, and they gravitate. The hole in the heart means they have no capacity, so they gravitate to the lie. They do. They are selective about it. They go to a church because they believe in God, but they go to a church where they'll not be told fornication is sin, homosexuality is sin, adultery is sin, lying is sin, being deceitful is sin. They won't go to that church because they want to sleep around with whoever they want to that night. But they'll go to the church. But they are not being sanctified by the Spirit of God to the truth. Because they don't want it. They are selective about it. When it comes to a business deal, they want their business partner to be honest. But on the other areas of life, they are cheating. So if I offend the law in one point, I am guilty of all. James 2, verse 10. So you want to go to a church where there is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Whatever church there is, wherever you go, you want to have this Bible speaking to your heart by the Spirit of God, because that's how you are sanctified. And when you are gathered together with other believers that have the same Spirit, that is 1 Corinthians 12:13, you drink the same Spirit. We encourage each other in what we believe. We embrace it, and we are blessed and showered with blessing and an increase in our life as we are being sanctified. It really is real. Have you changed? The more you are walking in this new heart, and you might say, I don't have that heart. Yes, you do. Ezekiel 36:26 says that we are born again. It says we have been given a new spirit and a new heart. You have it. You say, well, I haven't experienced it. Walk by faith in him. You have it. God says you are a new creation. God says that he saved you by his grace. God says that he fills you with the Spirit. God said that he is for you, not against you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You have the new heart. We have the heart of David. Remember that song? How's it go? Come on, somebody sing it for me. How's it go? Come on, who knows it? I don't know it. I need help. Come on, the heart of David. Come on, the heart. What is it? Oh, I'm so sorry. That's not the one. Oh, my gosh. That is not the one. What remember the heart of David, wasn't it? Remember that? Huh? He sang it in the choir. Oh boy. Okay. Hey, it's Wednesday night. That's not bad. You know, that's not bad. We came up with two different. Okay. Okay, let's go. Here we go. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, and this is the text. But before I do, I want to read this. A February Gallup poll found that 7.1% of Americans now identify as LGBTQ. It's a 100% increase over 2012, and since a 26% increase over 2021. 1 year, the increase of people that are identifying with this ideology, the general consensus among experts is that this jump among all Americans is being driven by a sharp increase among younger people. For example, last year, George Barna found that among those ages 18 and 24, an astounding 39% self-identified as LGBTQ. Here is a part that is tragically fascinating. Rather than claiming to be born that way, that means lesbian, gay, binary, transgender, queer, and instead of being born that way, many of these young people, for a variety of reasons, are choosing to identify with this group. In other words, they are seeing it as a popular choice as much as piercings and skinny jeans and tattoos. All right, so it's not a coincidence that the rise in LGBT identity has corresponded with the relentless promotion of the characters and storylines in entertainment. We all know that the Bible has the answers for these confused, desperate young people. Now, if only the church would proclaim the truth and goodness of God's design for human sexuality. However, here's the truly terrifying thing. Listen. Far too many churches are abandoning biblical truth and instead absorbing so-called gay theology. Wow. That brings us to our chapter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have the coming of the Antichrist, who is coming after the working of Satan in verse 9. With all power and signs and lying wonders. That's very strong, metaphysical, powerful expressions of supernatural. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. So there are people perishing. That means they are lost. They're dying in a lie. That means that the heart that they have is inventing, living subject to all kinds of ideologies and religious ideas, many different moral ideas, many different ways of living and thinking about things. We all have it. We all have that capability. But we have thought a lot about it. We study it. We meditate on it. We think about the truth. Now, look at this picture up here. I have a heart, but I have truth. Where is the truth? In the picture, here it is. This is the truth. Where am I? I am here before it. John 3 says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's your call. When I draw somebody to me, and they see me hanging up in the sky, that's it. It's your call. What do you think? I have two possibilities with my heart. I have one, actually. I have a fallen heart. And I'm prone to say, the guy hanging up there, I don't know who he was, prophet, miracle worker, rabbi, deceiver, Beelzebub, a demon. I have all kinds of things to say about Jesus. But there's something else there, and that's the Holy Spirit who draws people and says, you are wrong. He's not wrong. You are wrong. You are a sinner. You are wrong. But people that love a lie walk away, right? I love a lie, and I can go away and say anything I want to about Jesus on the cross. That's the world we live in. But there are some that hear it. There are some that hear the gospel. There are some that are afraid of God. They fear God. They're afraid of hell. They are convicted of sin. There are some that are saying, maybe I got this wrong. I was reading Timothy Keller yesterday, and I was thinking, he said, you know, people complain that because there's so much evil in the world, there is no God. But he said, the atheists have a bigger problem. There's so much evil in the world, and there is no God, and you don't believe in God, so there you go. That's your world. You have a great problem not believing in God. You got nothing. You got no answer. You got yourself. You got your sin, your craziness, your abstract mind, your heart, the ideologies and religions all over the place, all kinds. But if you want to be serious with God, you can be, and God will show you. And that's the rest of the text. Read it with me. It says, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. I want to put here the love of the truth. It goes beyond reason. It's Jesus is on a cross. And if that's God taking my sin away, that blows my mind. That means he loves me. And that means I decide, do I love him? I decide to love him. I decide to say, like, depart from me. I am a sinful man. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to depart from you. I save you. You are my friend. I am for you. I give you my spirit. And my spirit will guide you. And I'll keep you from the deception. But remember, we are in the world. We are the church. We are not raptured yet. Wait until the rapture goes and how much deceitfulness will be in this world. How many lies will be propagated? You know, people say when we're raptured, the world will be in shock at our disappearance. I don't know about that. They don't have a clue of what's going on. They don't know the tomb is empty. They didn't even go to bother. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The wise men didn't even, they said the king is to be born in Bethlehem. They didn't even walk 5 miles to find it out. When we're raptured off the earth, there'll be some explanation for it. The magnetic fields in the universe took out the bad people. I mean, what do you know? It is deception. Do you understand that? It is a lie. Do you get it? A trick. It's a guy in a tuxedo who hates you. It's a bouquet of flowers with chocolate and a handsome man who is the most wicked man you could imagine, who will steal from you and destroy you. Do you know what deception is? It's a world that crucified Christ, that said, he is bad, we are good. Do you know what deception is? You have it in your heart all the time. You have it in your heart. It comes in your heart. It's our pride. It's our disloyalty. It's our abandonment to truth. It's our passivity and our indifference to the Bible. It's our indifference to God. It's the nature of man. Okay. I think you understand me. I got to have some focus and love for the truth. If I don't have a love for the truth, here you go. God gives you a new heart. You know what that new heart does? It loves the truth. It loves it, even if it hurts me. I want the truth. Even if it hurts me, I love the truth. You see that? That's an amazing, that's the nature. That's the fellowship. That's what God loves about us. His holiness, isn't it? He loves this about us. So if you got a problem with our theology, you need to go to God and get on your knees before God and find out what you believe, what God will tell you. We are not perfect people, and all of our teaching, we do the best we can together as a body. What is the Bible saying? Let's live by the Bible. Let's embrace what the Bible says. Let's submit ourselves to God and find the blessing of God. Isn't that good? Even like, say, take a subject like, missions. Actually, we have been so blessed that we were kind of thrown into the deep end of the pool as Christians, you know. You're like a newborn Christian, and your mother, father take you to the deep end of the pool and throw you in. And that's kind of like what happened in our ministry with missions. We just graduated from Bible school. We are 23 years old and go to a foreign country and start preaching. And we're saved for only 4 years. And we're in a foreign country preaching the gospel, and we're hoping what we're saying is true because we're sorting it out ourselves. And then the bubbles come up from the bottom of the pool. You know, little Junior is drowning right now. And mom and dad jump in, or mom or dad jump in and pull him out. And he had his first swimming lesson. That's a dramatic illustration. Maybe it's horrifying for you to hear that. But you know, missions is from God. Missionaries are sent from God. The gospel is from God. With stammering lips, we go and we share our message, and we learn how to talk and share our faith with people. We do many things by faith. We lose our bad habits because we are living by faith in God. Some of our bad habits, but we are being sanctified. And we are learning, and he's having an effect on us, and the local assembly is a big part of that. And I'm afraid that if I drift away from a local assembly, I just kind of have a passé kind of indifferent kind of, I sleep the sleep of death, David said. Light in my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And I wonder what that is. It's wandering, I wonder. Out of the way of understanding, I will remain in the congregation of the dead. Imagine being in the congregation of the dead. Actually, I can imagine it. Can you imagine being in a congregation of the dead? Okay, let's finish here. Verse 11. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion. Now, this is I'm sure it's like a causative phrase, that this is the reason why God sends strong delusion. Look up at my screen here. Because I don't love the truth, then I gravitate to the lie, and this is where God will send what? Strong delusion. Well, what do you mean? God will send strong, yes, he will allow us to be deceived. He will be part of it. He will allow the system to roll out. He allows the demons to be in the world. He allows the false prophets, the false teachers. He allows deception to roll out. And you might say, well, wait, mate, not God. Yeah, God will allow that deception to go rampant. And there'll be miracles, false teachers, there'll be deception, different ideas, and people will be embracing it, and they will be suffering as a result. Because one thing about this spirit that we have is the benefits of it. This is an incredibly great benefit of loving truth. It's like you love it and you benefit from it. You have the joy of it, the freedom of it. You love it. You love God. You love the truth. You're protected. And when you read these kind of statistics and you look at this, you just say, that is a sad thing that the church would be absorbed in something that is so obviously not biblical, that contradicts our New Testament, contradicts the history of the church, contradicts our institutions. Our society has evolved over hundreds of years. It's not just a phase. It's like we are like in a trend, a phase, and we're reinterpreting reality. Why would I believe in a reinterpretation of reality that is happening in a short time since the iPhone in 2006? There's actually statistics on that. When the iPhone came out in 2006 until now, there's been this incredible wave of propaganda, ideologies, communication, social platforms, the I, the me, the deceit, the delusion, the lies and propagation of it. And so therefore, why would I embrace what has happened in the last 15 years? Why would I embrace it as a radical change for my life when the institutions of the human race have been proven over hundreds of years? And why? Because of pride. I am better. This generation, we are better than the other one. Oh, really? Well, this strong delusion will be stronger in time, but it won't affect you and me. I mean, it can, but we'll finish up. I want to close with verse, they will believe a lie, verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Wow. Okay. But what about us? Verse 13 was the verse we read. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I'll just close. I get worked up on this subject, and I might be repeating myself a little bit. I want to finish. It's Wednesday night. You folks are awesome to be here. I love these Wednesday night meetings. Sometimes it seems like God touches the Wednesday night service in such a special way. And this is what I want to say tonight, and I think you know it, and you see it, and you understand it. But that means I believe that in our country there are a lot of sisters and brothers that say the same things that we are saying here tonight. I believe that in our country, there's a lot of people that are saying, take courage. That's our theme for our convention. Take courage. Embrace it. Love it. You will benefit from it. You will be normal. You will be healthy. You'll have good relationships. You'll love people. You'll have a mission. You'll have a vision. You'll prosper from it. You'll be healthy. You have words that have meaning. You have content in your conversation. You can raise your family. You can, if you're a single woman or a single man, you're able to live with your friends and have a vision and purpose in life and be sanctified and prepared for meeting Christ one day. And isn't that what Paul said? There's a reward for those that are anticipating Christ. Why do we anticipate him? Because we love the truth. You get sick of what's going on with the lies, misrepresentations, and you say, I want the kingdom of God to come on the earth. I want that kingdom on the earth. I want Jesus to come back. I want him to come back. I want him to come back on a horse in Revelation chapter 19. Now I gotta say this about that. I said, if you ever want to make a big impression on your new family, like when a wedding and two families come together, and you want to make a good impression on them, tell them that you believe Jesus is coming back on a horse. They'll think, what have you been drinking? But you know what it means to me? I have no problem with it, because God made horses. And I have no problem with the linkage of that kingdom with this world. And I have no problem with horses at all. In my imagination, I'm like a child. And I believe that the world that is coming is a very real one. And I believe that Jesus came and died for it. And we will be his bride. And I believe many other things that are written in this book. And I anticipate it and believe it because we are the people that are being sanctified by his Spirit and saying to us in our hearts, it's true. Was Noah's Ark true? You got to sort that out with God. Is the Bible, was Jesus raised from the dead? Is the tomb empty? Did he ascend up into heaven? You got to sort that out with God. Maybe that's the whole meaning of my message tonight. There are many things in this book that you and I have to deal with God. And he can speak to you and guide you and show you. And when you love that truth, it will protect you. It will encourage you. You will open your mouth. You have prayers that move mountains. You'll be part of a fellowship that really makes an impact. We have content in the midst of our communication, and we have motivation in our heart. We'll be able to get up off the couch and go do something. And then we're able to come back to the couch and take a nap with a big smile on our face. Because life has meaning, everything about it. Why? Because we're being sanctified by his Holy Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We rejoice in the Spirit. We know the sound and the voice of what the Spirit is saying to us. And God loves to speak to us. Remember, the voice was walking in the garden and Adam wasn't there. And the voice said, where are you? And I think that voice is walking in this world today. And he's saying to us, I found you. I know you. You know me. We have the same heart. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, use these words just to encourage us and lead us in understanding. We'd be people of the book. We would have deep encouragement, and we would not be deceived by the spirit of the world, the message of the world, the methods, the mechanics of the world, the teachers of the world, the leaders of the world. We have another thing going on in our hearts. And we are those with a message. And as the night gets darker, the light shines brighter. That's us. And may we not be afraid to be very kind and introduce our heart thoughts to people that we don't know, and to let them know that there's another way. And Jesus loves them, and he will make an impact on each life that calls to him. In Christ's name. If you're here tonight and you want Jesus in your heart, maybe your first time saying to Jesus, first and really most important sense, say yes to Jesus, and he will answer you. You'll go home tonight, and maybe you will be filled with the Spirit as you go home. You go home tonight and maybe God will make himself very clear to you. But if you go to home tonight saying, I have believed in Jesus and Jesus is in your life, and he will show you, be patient, trust him, talk to him, he will answer you. He will help you. He will care for you. He will answer your prayer. He is your God, the living God. Trust him. In Jesus' name, amen.